Okay, we're good to go. All right. Thanks for everybody for being here. Like I said, I appreciate everybody coming out, even though you knew Leo wasn't going to be here. Thankful everybody that's here. When you become a Christian and a believer in Jesus Christ, there's certain advantages and certain things that you get that you didn't have when you were a non-believer. And a lot of times we just think, well, I got saved on such and such, I'm saved. But there's a lot of things that go into it that we receive. And I'm going to get to what the main topic's going to be, but I just want to build a case for a couple things that we receive from God when we become Christians. Turn to Romans 5. Romans 5. And like I said, this is not what it's going to, the lesson's going to be on, but I just want to kind of build the case. Romans 5, verse 1. The first is justification. That's one. Well, what does justification mean? That we are seen in God's eyes just as we had never sinned, as we had had no fault when we become saved. You hear people say all the time, I'll come to church when I get cleaned up. When I start living right, I'll come to church. But we can't do that on our own. It never happens. So when we are we become in a relationship with God, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. How are we justified? Through faith. Well, what does that mean? We accept and we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that He came and did all that, died on the cross, went to the grave, was resurrected in 3 days to save us from our sins. That's why He did it. We accept that with saving faith and say we're going to live our lives for Him and become a Christian, accept it, then we become a Christian. We are justified. You say, well, what about all this stuff, all this guilt, all this stuff that I did before I was saved? It's forgotten. It's forgotten. As crazy as this sounds, if Adolf Hitler would have asked for salvation before he died, it would have been granted to him. There's nobody that's done enough bad stuff to where they're not a candidate for grace. All right? So we're justified by faith. What happens? We can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. Nobody else. No other religion, not good works, not any of that. Not being a good person through Jesus Christ. We also are reconciled. Let's go down to verse 10. What does reconciled mean? We're brought together with God. You've got to remember, when Adam sinned, man and God were apart. Okay, there had to be a sacrifice, that was Jesus on the cross, to be able to forgive us of our sins. So verse 10, for if, when we were enemies, when we were enemies, we all were, we were enemies to God. Why? Because Adam's nature inside of us. We were enemies. You say, well, I didn't hate God. Maybe you did. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't do any of that. I didn't do anything that I could have went to jail for. Maybe so, but our nature made us enemies of God. We had to become born again. We had to become Christians. For we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, Jesus the Son, much more being reconciled, brought to God, a relationship with God through the death of Jesus Christ, we shall be saved by His life. We're also redeemed. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Like I said, I'm building to the subject I want to talk about. I just want to take a minute or two. Ephesians 1, verse 7. We're redeemed. Well, what does that mean? We're saved. We have a new life. We're not in the same spiritual state that we were in where we were lost. So we have redemption. Verse 7, chapter 1 of Ephesians, in whom we have redemption through His blood. How did we get it? Jesus Christ going to the cross. There were two things, two absolutes in the Bible. Okay? The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The other one is there's no remission for sin but the shedding of the blood. We had all sinned. We were born into sin nature. There had to be the sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice. The blood, the Bible says, of bulls, goats, lambs, rams wouldn't do. Not forever. Maybe, but you had to keep going. They had to keep going in the Old Testament, keep giving sacrifices. This is a one-time deal. You don't have to keep getting saved over and over and over. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins to the riches of His grace. It's that simple. Another thing. Turn to 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 4. And Leo has talked about this the last few weeks. And like I said, I'm not going to throw a ton of verses at you here. I just want to build this. We also have propitiation for our sins. What does that mean, propitiation? That Jesus took our sin on the cross. Leo has talked about that in great detail the last few weeks. For 3 hours, our sin was placed upon Jesus Christ on the cross. Okay? Herein is love. Verse 10. Not that we love God. Remember what it said? We were reconciled. We didn't love God. Our lifestyle said we did not love God. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son, there it is again, to be the propitiation of our sins. He took our sins. Now, there's a difference in sin and sins. If He dies for our sin, it's for our sin nature that we have, our Adam nature. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, that nature, He died for that. But according to this, He died for everything sin that I've ever committed. Every sin that David Sisk ever committed was placed upon Jesus Christ on the cross. He did that for me. And He did that for everybody here. Why? So we could be reconciled, so we can be justified, so that we could be redeemed. And I want to look at the last one before we get into it. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Because of all this, we became a new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you're going to notice here, verse 17 through 20, and all these verses, everything that we've talked about here is tied back into that. Verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And this is familiar scripture. You become a new creature. You are a new person. You may say, well, I don't feel any different. I don't know that when you, some people feel it, some it's different. Some you get saved, there's not going to be lightning bolts come down out of the sky and the fireworks go off. But you'll know. How do I know? Well, I knew in the past, if there was something that I did that I shouldn't have done, I didn't really think about much about it. People say it's a conscience, but it's the Holy Spirit. Now I know if I do something or don't do something I shouldn't have done, it bothers me. I mean, I'm convicted right then. I know.
Amen.
There's a different feeling inside.
Yes.
And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. There's that word. He reconciled us. He brought us into a relationship with him by Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. Imputation, what's that mean? He didn't count our sins against us. We're just as we've never sinned. I don't have to keep getting saved over and over and over and over and over. I'm going to be a Christian. I'll be in heaven. Okay? I'm going to be a Christian. I am. It doesn't change. And we're going to get into this. And have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray that you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. So we're reconciled. Now, there's one other thing here. Adoption. Okay? We've been adopted into the family of Christ to be sons and daughters of God. Okay? Now, adoption is something that might sound a little bit more familiar to us than this other stuff. And adoption is what I'm going to talk about. And I'm going to get into that a little bit more. But there's two verses, and I'll cut back on the verse. This is basically going to be our verses from here on out. So there's two really good passages on adoption. One is in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And I promise I'll slow down on it. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus was born before grace. Jesus was born under the law. He came to fulfill the law. We talked Wednesday night that we talked about the Bereans, that they believed, they were Jews, they believed what Paul told them about Jesus being a Christ, and it said they went back and searched the scriptures. Well, they didn't have the Bible. What did they have? They had the Old Testament, and they went back and found the Old Testament was full of prophecies saying that the Christ was coming and that Jesus was the Christ. I mean, down to the nails in his hands and his feet, his garments being ripped and casting dice for it, all of that. Down to the very thing. Daniel, Psalms 22, there's so many. So, he was born under the law to redeem them, there's that word, that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He came to adopt us. Well, how was he going to adopt us? He's going to put us in his family. We're going to talk about this quite a bit. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his sons into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Benford talked about this going to Israel. He said you could go anywhere in Israel and you might see a little boy or a little girl going to their dad and they wouldn't say daddy. They'd go, Abba, Abba, daddy, daddy. That's what that word meant. So we have that relationship with us that God's our father, but that daddy, that loving relationship. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through Christ. We have all his promises. By now, after that, you have known God, or rather are known of God. Not only do we know God, he knows us. And every hair on her head, right, Lehman?
Amen.
And turn, turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. He's asking them, would you turn back to legalism? Would you turn back to the law? Where you have to just live up to these. You can't break anything. You've got to be perfect. Are you going to go back to that? God doesn't expect perfection. Or do you want to go back where you have, hey, I'm done with it. I don't want to have a relationship. I don't believe it. None of that. Okay? You can have a relationship with God. Not only a relationship, but an adoption. One more here. Romans chapter 8. One more. And then we're going to talk more about this. And these are the two scriptures that we're going to look at today mostly. Romans 8. Verse 15 through 17. And Paul almost word for word talks about what he says in Galatians. So he almost repeats it. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You don't have any spirit of fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, same thing. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Leo's talked about being indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That spirit bears witness. We've got a connection. You feel that connection. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of the promises of God. And joint heirs with Christ. We have the same promises that Christ has. Christ is the Son of God. We are the sons of God. Have you ever thought about that? We've got the same promises Christ does. And if so, we suffer with Him that we may also be glorified together. Now, you say, why would you want to talk about adoption? Well, there's some things that are personal, and I'm going to share things with you today that I've never shared before to anybody, not publicly. A few people know, Missy knows, Morgan knows, Paul Ann knows, David Hastings, I'm around David a lot, I may have shared this with him. We've been around each other every day for the last 10 years. But I'm adopted. Now, not, yes, spiritually, but physically adopted. I've never met my biological mother and father. Don't know who they are. Never met them. I don't know how old I was when I was adopted. I was young. I was born in June. And I've got pictures that I've seen from my first Christmas. So I was a baby. So when you say adoption, then it has a certain meaning to me. That's special to me. Because I've been adopted twice, both physically and spiritually.
Yeah.
And everybody in here has been adopted in one way, but I've been adopted twice. And when you look at what Paul wrote about adoption, he wrote it from a standpoint of Roman society. Paul was perfect. That's why he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was perfect in that society. He knew the Jewish society because he was Jewish, but he was also a Roman citizen. So he didn't write about adoption from a spiritual standpoint. He wrote about it from a legal standpoint. From Roman society. Adoption in Rome was basically for adults. They rarely adopted kids. They adopted adults. And the reason they adopted was because they didn't want their family to die out. If there wasn't a son to carry it on, the family name, the estate, all the possessions that was tied up in the family, they had to have somebody to continue that. Now, they wouldn't adopt just anybody. It had to be somebody that they knew could take care of business and be like a patriarch. Okay? So, often the adopted person, like I said, was an adult exchanged from one person to another. Now, Paul wrote about it in that sense. And a lot of times the Bible's written to the people for that day But the beauty of it is it can still be meaningful for us today. And this is meaningful for me. So I take some things here that I see about adoption, and from my own experiences, I can apply it, but not only to my life, but apply it spiritually. And there's a couple things here that I wanted to bring out that's important. Number one, I didn't have to work to be adopted. I said I wouldn't go to other, but go to one more. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. And most of you know this by heart. I didn't have to work to be adopted. I saw a thing yesterday. I saw it on social media. There was a little girl, looked like she was about 7, 8, somewhere in that range. Her family had died in a fire. Killed the whole family, destroyed the home. She was the only survivor. And the firemen asked her if they could adopt her. It was where he got down on his knees and did the proposal. It was really sweet. Did the proposal to her, talked about how he knew that what all she'd been through. She felt like she hadn't been loved in a long time since it happened. Wanted to know if she would join their family. All she had to do was say yes. That's all she had to do. And of course she did. So I was, obviously, I couldn't have worked for it. I was just a baby. If you look at Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There was nothing we could do. The adoption is, everything is done by the adopter or the parent. They do all the work. There's nothing I could do for me to be adopted. For this little girl to be adopted, there was nothing. Okay? But she did have to accept it. Okay? Now, obviously, I was a baby, so I didn't have to do anything. I didn't even have to accept. But I was thinking about that yesterday. That little girl had to say yes because, here we go. I'll put it back. Okay. So, he asked, will you do this? Would you like to be part of our family? And she said, yes, I would. So, she had to accept that. But all the work, adoption is work. You have to go through all the paperwork and all the red tape, and evidently it's expensive. I think that's one reason a lot of families in America go abroad. They go, a lot of children to be adopted out of Asia, South America, out of Africa. I think it's a little bit easier. Evidently, there's a whole lot of hoops to jump through if you adopt a child from the United States. But there was a whole lot of work for Jesus Christ to have to do for us to be adopted. Think about what all he went through for us to have the opportunity to be adopted into his family. It said through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. I never will forget, I wanted to say this Wednesday night and I forgot all about it. I went to a graveside service of some friends I had back in East Tennessee, and they were originally from Decatur, Alabama. Wayne and Linnell Parker. Linnell had died, Wayne was a husband. And Wayne got up at the graveside and said the 23rd Psalm and never was held up great. And I talked to him after and I said, man, I know that was tough. And he said, you know what? She died of cancer. She was a heavy smoker. And he said, she suffered a lot down at the end. It was bad. She suffered a lot. She said, but what she suffered was nothing compared to what Christ suffered for us. You can't go through. You can talk about the worst, roughest death, roughest torture, whatever anybody's had to go through, it's nothing compared to what Jesus Christ went through for everybody in here on the cross. So all the work that was done at Calvary. And then when he rose from the dead. All we've got to do, believe and accept. The second thing, it was a gift. I did not give it back. I don't work for a gift. If you, somebody gives me a gift, if Jonathan gets me something, and that'd probably never happen. But if Jonathan gets, but if Jonathan would give me a gift, I don't have to work for that and say, thank you, Jonathan. Do I need to come over and mow your yard? Or so he'd probably say, yeah. But do I have to come over and mow? It's not. It's a gift. If you gave somebody a gift and they tried to work it off, you'd be insulted. Why? Because I'm doing that from my own, just because I love you. You don't have to work for it. There was an Andy Griffith episode, which I thought was one of the greatest lessons on grace. And that was when, for those that don't watch it, I'll introduce you. A lot of you have seen it. You remember when Gomer was asleep in the back of the filling station? He had the little rag oil fire, just a little fire, and it was smoking. And Andy came in and put it out, woke him up. He said, Andy, you saved my life. He said, I'm going to be there every step for the rest of the way, and every time you look up, I'm going to be there. And they'd be eating breakfast in the morning, and Gomer would come in and throw fish on it. He just caught on her table, and he chopped up all the cordwood and stacked it up in his living room. And it got so bad that every time they saw him come, they would hide. And if they saw him coming, it'd run off, because it was great. It was kind of like grace. But Andy didn't expect Gomer to do something for him when he put the fire out. It was just a natural thing to do, put the fire. But Gomer went and messed it up because he felt like he had to work it off all the time. That's what we do. This gift of adoption, we don't do any works for it. We don't do anything for it. It's just for it. God, Jesus died on the cross. It was God's gift to us. All we have to do is accept it. Number three, the adoption effected a complete and legal change in one's name. The original family has no name, has no claim to that individual anymore. Go back to Galatians 4. That was one of our main scriptures. Galatians 4, 4 through 9. That's where we were at a while ago. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. Verse 7. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. What does that mean? He's talking about slaves to sin before we became a Christian. We were either one of two things. We're either a child of the devil, or we were a child of Christ, a child of God. Now you say, well, I don't live like that. I'm a good person. That's true. But we're talking about the spiritual part of it, because you have to be born again, born into the spiritual family, the family of God. And if a son, then you are an heir of God through Christ. So we're entitled, like I said, to all His promises. So it offered a complete, you couldn't be both. That's why I'm saying, I never will forget, Judy talked about the person, you know where I'm going here. Well, I got saved again. And you said it was about the 10th time, right? I'm either in one or I'm in the other. I can't do both. I can't be in both. The hardest thing sometimes, especially for somebody who's an adult when they become a Christian, and especially, and I think there were a lot of people here like that, we've talked about, Lehman, I know you talked about it. You came up in a real legalistic background, and it was laws, 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 laws. You do this, you don't do that. You do this, you don't do that. You don't go to church on Wednesday night, you're going to hell. And you're back and forth. You're back and forth. It doesn't work that way. You're either in it, you're in one family or the other, and once you're in it, you're in it. I don't have to go back. It said Christ died once. He doesn't have to go back and die for him again. Missy asks me all the time. Well, I take that back. She don't ask me all the time. But she's asked me this before and other people have. Do you have any, don't you want to go back and find out how your real parents, who they are? Your biological parents. I shouldn't say real. Biological. Don't you want to go back and find if you got any brothers or sisters? And there's part of me that's curious. I didn't do it while Mom and Dad was alive because I thought that was disrespectful. And I didn't want to go there. I just thought it was awkward that you might have Mom and Dad, who's been so good to me throughout my life, and then go to somebody else and call them the same thing. And if I would have done it, I certainly wouldn't have told them. And I went, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go that direction. But now that they're both, neither one of them's alive, you know, obviously I could, but I'm just like, no, I'm not interested. I'm really not. I don't know the reason that I was put up for adoption. I don't know. But I do know that I just feel like that's not, my mom and dad were so good to me and God's so good to me. I don't want to know about that past life. Amen. I don't want to know about any of that. My parents were J.D. and Agnes Sis, just like my real parent is God, Jesus Christ. So that's where my family's at. So I don't go back either way into the other family. I don't go back before I was a Christian into that other spiritual family, and I don't go back in my physical part into another family. Number four. Stay in Galatians. We gained all legal rights to the new family. Verse 7. Stay right where you're at. It says, we're heirs of God. Then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. We have so many promises in the Bible to Christians. We have the ability to go to pray to God and know that He'll hear our prayers and He'll answer our prayers. And the Bible says, come boldly into the throne of grace. Amen. We don't have to just beg and grovel and be afraid we're going to struck down when we come and pray. We don't have to be worried that God is just going to zap us down if we do something wrong. We don't have to worry about any of that. We have the legal rights. Now, when my mom and dad died, I had to take care of all that. When mom had to, she had Alzheimer's. She had to go in a nursing home. And then dad did down at the end. So we had to go from Medicare to Medicaid and do all that stuff and all the hoops that you have to jump through for that. Then when mom died, you had to close out all that out with Social Security. And then when dad died, their home, all the stuff that Leo's going through now. Think about this. Until all that gets settled, Leo's dad is still actually kind of alive because they're trying to settle his estate. And it was the same way, and that is his natural parents. My mom and dad were my adopted parents, but when they died, I had to go through the same things. I had to do all the business with the hospitals when they were in the hospital, with a nursing home, with assisted living, with all that thing. Jonathan, you have to take care of all that stuff with your mom and assisted living. And I think everybody here has had to do that at one time or another, or will with their parents. That's what you have the legal rights to that. And you're responsible for that, whether you're adopted, whether it's your regular family. Ephesians 1, and you don't have to turn to this. I don't want you to have to turn too much, but Ephesians 1, verse 11, and you can just write this down. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. What's our inheritance? Number one, we're going to go to heaven. We have a spiritual inheritance of eternal life. That's one thing. We can go to God in prayer. That's one big reason when I became a Christian, we had an incident happen in our family where Morgan was sick. And I said, here I am. I can't even pray for her because I know I'm not in a spiritual condition where God would owe me anything. I'm not in that family. And I knew, and that conviction hit me, and I knew. And we have those promises under grace. We have so many promises that God gives us. Number five, and I'm only got a couple more here. It feels natural. If whether you're adopted, whether you're not adopted, I couldn't tell you the difference. Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 7. Matthew 5, verse 7. You can just write this down. I'm sorry. Matthew 7, verse 9. I'm sorry. I don't know why I had 5, 7. Chapter 7, verse 9. What man is there of you whom you ask bread would give him a stone? I didn't have to worry about whether my parents were going to take care of me or not. Now, unfortunately, we've got a lot of kids in our society are not like that. They've got to fend for themselves. It's kids raising parents a lot of times. And they're in horrible situations. But I didn't have to worry about that. It didn't matter if I was adopted, what I wasn't adopted. I knew that my parents would take care. Now, they didn't give me everything I wanted. Couldn't afford everything I wanted. But I didn't have to worry about going hungry. I didn't have to worry about not having clothes. I knew they had my best interest for me. If I would have went into a family that had other brothers and sisters that were natural, and I didn't, I was the only child, they wouldn't have treated me any differently. So it felt natural. People would ask me that knew me when I was younger, what's it feel like? What did it feel like to be adopted? And I'm like, it didn't feel anything. I mean, I didn't feel, I don't know. It's all I knew. Didn't feel any different at all. We shouldn't have to go back in our spiritual life and say, are we a Christian or are we not a Christian? Does God love me? I said something I shouldn't have said. I lost my temper. Does God still love me? Is he mad at? No, God loves you. Amen. I heard Lehman say something one time. It stuck with me, and I'd never really thought about it. He said, you know something? God loved me just as much before I got saved as he did after. He did. You think about all the times where something could have happened to you when you were younger, before you became a Christian, and God took care of it. I think we can. A lot of you were Christians when you were younger, and that's great. But God has taken care of everybody here so many times through your lives, or you wouldn't be here today. You may have had a rough way to go. You may have had a lot of illnesses. You may have had a lot of misfortune in your life. But think of all your blessings. Missy tells me all the time, because I'll gripe and fuss, and she says, would you just think about how blessed you are? And I am. So it was natural. I didn't feel anything any differently. And that's the same way. We shouldn't have to worry about things. We shouldn't have to worry about, well, I felt this way last week and this way this week and I felt another way last month. No. It's Christ has done all the work. Okay? He loves us. He loves you. Okay? That's the way we need to look at our spiritual life. There's another thing too. Why me? Why would Christ go to all that trouble, all that pain, all that torture, all that agony? John 3:16. Why would he go through all that to adopt us? Well, the Bible said he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. He loved us. Now, I've wondered, why me? Why out of all the children that go unadopted? Why me? Why me? Because, and I'll get into this here in a few minutes. But there were two boys that when I came into the family, that they kept as foster children, Robert and Roger. And I don't know how long they stayed. They might have stayed a year or two, but they were foster children when I was there. And I've seen pictures when we were all there together. But they went back into the foster home system. I don't know if it was, exactly what, and we know what the foster home system can be like. But one of them turned out really good family. The other went to prison for murder, for killing a store clerk when he was 18 years old. And Dad would ask him, and I remember we would get back, the younger ones won't know this, but we would get collect phone calls on Sunday. And it would be from, I think it was Wartburg, Tennessee, Brushy Mountain State Prison. It's where James Earl Ray was at. And it'd be, and I remember sometimes I'd answer the phone, we'd accept it. Mom and Dad would talk to him. I don't remember if it was Robert or Roger, which one was in. The names ran together. But he was in there for years, I guess about 30 years or so. And Dad would ask him, he'd said, "Did you kill that guy?" And he said, "I don't know." He said, "I was so messed up on drugs, I don't remember what happened. All I know is we went to a convenience store, and one of us shot him, and the people that was with me, my friends, said I did it. I don't know." And I only remember seeing him one time. And when Mom and Dad, I was actually, I guess, married to Missy at that time, so we're talking probably about 15 years ago or so. I used to go home about once a month to see them. They were up in East Tennessee, and I'd try to take care of everything while I was up there. And Robert and Roger were both there. And I felt guilty. I really felt guilty. I felt awkward. Not that I wasn't glad. I didn't think about the other one killing the guy. I didn't think about that. Here I was. I wasn't better than them. Why would I get adopted and they wouldn't? They were never adopted. They never had anybody they could call Mom and Dad. Ever. You think about going in as an 18-year-old and going out there in the world and you never had anybody tell you love you. Never had parents. You don't have anybody to lean on. And you're just out there in a cold world, fending for yourself. Where I've got parents taking care of me, why was I better than them? I wouldn't. But why would I have that blessing and they would not? I can't explain it. Why are some born into good families and some are born into bad families? And I shouldn't say bad families, but you know what I mean. Why is that? I don't know. I can't explain it. I tell the boys, a lot of the boys, the only times I've ever kind of shared this, we'll have some boys really getting in trouble at school, and there's been probably three or four I've sat down in the office, and I said, "Listen, I know you've been dealt a bad hand in life, but I want to ask you a question. Have you ever met my real mom and dad?" And they'll say no. And I said, I'm not either. But I decided at a young age I would not let that. And of course, I had obviously went into great family. So I their situation, mine's totally different. But I could feel sorry for myself about it. Well, you don't even know who your real parents. Your real parents didn't want you. But I decided I would never let that define who I am. And I try to tell those boys all the time, don't let your circumstances and what you grew up in define who you're going to be in this adult. Don't do it. Be your own person. Show them that you're going to be successful. Show them that you can be your own man and you can get through life. And you can make the right choices. But you know something? Spiritual adoption's for everybody. That's why as much as my mom and dad loved me, they didn't love me close to as much as Jesus did. Not even close. As much as you love your parents and your parents loved you, that love is nothing like what Jesus went to the cross. Jesus paid it all. And my mom and dad would have died for me, I have no doubt. But would they have died for people that they don't even know? You think about somebody says something to you, somebody makes you mad, you lose your temper, and you won't go for years and not even talk to them. Jesus died for those people. The same people that nailed Jesus to the cross, Jesus was dying for their sins because he loved the people that were nailing him to the cross and said, crucify him. The Bible, John 3:16 says it's for everybody. It's for everybody. Earthly adoption's not. Some do, some don't. It's not like that. It is available for everybody. All you've got to do is accept it and believe. Turn to 1 Peter. I didn't practice this. I didn't rehearse this. And I'll be honest, I don't know if I can get through this part or not. Hopefully I can. First Peter chapter 1. Verse 3 through 5. We're grateful for God loving us, for our adoption, for everything that goes with it. We're grateful. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again, into brought us to life, into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance, there's that word again, incorruptible, doesn't pass away, and undefiled, doesn't fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Paul said, blessed be that we're grateful, we're thankful. We have all those promises. We have, it says, he's begotten us. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible. It can't fade away. Nobody can steal it. Nobody can take it. It can't dissolve. And it's kept through God, through faith unto salvation. We're kept. Now, I never told my parents, thank you for adopting me. And I never thought to. Like I said, it was natural. It never went through, never kind of went through our mind. We never, you say, did you know you were adopted? Yeah, when I was younger, but we never sat around and talked about it. It was never a discussion, never. I don't ever remember us sitting around talking about it. Mom, in 2013, the day of the Boston Marathon bombing, I get a call. I just got him to school. Sat down on the couch, turned the TV on. They're showing the bombing coverage. And I get a call, and I may not tell this exactly right, but I get a call, and it's her family doctor. He talks about, he told me, he said, Mom has had a situation where she's had to go into the hospital. She'll go to a nursing home. She'll never come out. She's got Alzheimer's and dementia. Sorry. And he said, she'll never come out. It's fast moving. She'll be 6 months. She'll be bedridden. And she never was right after that. Conversations didn't make sense. And then it got worse. She was in bed. Then after that, it was just, it was awful for about 9 months or so. Just a vegetable. And you're just praying for it to go on. And so there was that funeral. And then Dad, that would have been September 2014. And then Dad lived by himself about a year, but he got to falling really bad. He just got to where he couldn't live on his own. So he finally fell, and he was in the floor overnight. And he ends up at the hospital. So in Newport, he was in there for, gosh, almost 3 or 4 days, I guess. So I told him, Dad, you can't stay on your own. You're going to have to come with me. Kind of situation like Leo had. But he came here, and we just really was in a situation where it was, well, his situation and ours, it was hard to take care of him. So He was in a nursing home. We got him a private room. He was happy with that. He didn't like the food, but he was happy with it. So his mind was sharp. And I remember he was there for, gosh, like 3 years. So this would have been 2019. And we were in a basketball season. It was January. And I never will forget the last thing he said to me. I was in the, come to see him in the afternoon. We had played Frank Hughes the next day. And he said, all right, give me a scout report on Frank Hughes. Tell me about him. So he wanted to know. So like I said, sharp mind. Well, I got a call the next morning. I get up at 6:30, and about the minute I got up, the phone went off. I mean, just like that, just immediately. And it was a nurse at the nursing home that said, something's wrong with your dad. I've never seen him like this. I was talking to him, and he just turned around and he slumped over in the wheelchair. I said, let me jump in the shower. I'll be right there. So I go in and just basically just run through the water and get out. Phone rings again. It's Lisa Butler at the emergency room. She said, if you want to see your dad alive, you better get up here. So I go, and by the time I get up on the hill, he's gone. He's on the table in there. He's gone. And when I saw him, I'm looking right at him. And I didn't cry. I hated he was gone. But my dad, and Missy will tell you this, he lived his whole life for the day he was going to die. And he told you that. If there was ever a person who wanted to make sure that he was right and he was in right standing with God, it was him. He lived it, and I was around, he lived it. And so I knew where he was at. So the whole time I never cried. Never cried. Going through everything we had to do for the funeral home, receiving friends. The first time I go see him and he's there in the casket. I don't think I did. We go through the funeral. I'm at peace. I was at peace with both of them. I really was. So there they have the funeral at night and then they bury the next morning. So they have the funeral. And after the funeral's over, well, I'll never make it. After the funeral's over, everybody's gone, casket's open. And I go and he's laying there. And all I could say is, just kept going through my mind. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You did not have, Mom, did not have to do for me what you did. Why you chose me, I'll never know. And I kept thinking, I have no clue where I would be at if it hadn't been for them. I have no clue. You know, I see it every day at school. The whole, these kids go from one home to another one. And it's awful. We've got kids in our school out here that have been all over the state. And they're like from one home to another, and they're getting bad homes, and they get and bless their hearts, they don't have a chance. That could have been me. I just thought, where in the world would I be if it hadn't been for them? And I just kept thinking. I looked at him, and he couldn't hear me. And I never said it. I waited until he was dead. And I was like, thank you. Just so grateful. I'm just so grateful. I'm just so grateful. And you know, as touching as that is, it shouldn't be any more touching than where would we be without Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us? Where would we be? The Bible says without hope. Ephesians 2, chapter 12. I don't want you to think about all this, what I've told, and there'll be things that you'll remember what I've told you about my situation. But I don't want you to, what I want you to take from this is where would you be? Where would we be without Jesus Christ going to the cross and dying for us? Where would we be? Ephesians 2, and I'm closing. Ephesians 2, verse 12. He's speaking to the church at Ephesus. They were Gentiles, non-Jews. You say, what does that mean? The Old Testament, there it goes again. The Old Testament was for the Jew. It was for Israel. You could become a Jew, but if you weren't, at that time, you had no hope until Christ died on the cross. You had no hope. It was Jew only. He had chosen Israel. Everybody else, you know, everybody else was considered heathens. They were, you know, they were dogs in the Jews' eyes. But verse 12 says that at that time, you were without Christ, being from the commonwealth of Israel, you're non-Jews, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in this world. We had no hope. Everybody in here. You say, no, let's take it into today's society, into to us in 2022. You got a choice to make. Is Jesus Christ going to be your Savior or is He not? Without Him, there's no hope. There's no hope for heaven. There's no hope for a relationship with God that only comes through Jesus Christ. We're estranged from Him. We're a far as far. Now, He looks out for us. He gives us every opportunity. Like I said, He still blesses people that are not Christians, but you've got to make that decision. An eternity without accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's no hope. It says so right here. That's what that means. There's none. And you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. So, no hope that I was thinking about, where I was grateful and I wondered what would happen to me and where I would be, that only lasts as far as our life goes. You think about Miss Catherine Brewer, as long as she lived, that's a vapor compared to eternity. Amen. You know, I'm at my age, you know, I just think, man, I never will forget when I graduated high school, last day of high school, my homeroom teacher was Eddie Walker, and he said, 25, 30, 40 years from now, you're going to look back and say, where'd it go? It'll seem like yesterday when I had this talk with you, and it does. It does. Man, it flies. Yep. It's short. Life's short. You can live to be 100. Life's short. Being without hope in life, it's bad, but it ain't as bad as what it is without eternity. So I hope you take from this all the blessings that we have, what Christ has done for us, and if you don't know Him, how much you need Him. And anybody, I would say that to anybody here and anybody that's listening, people listen to this, if you don't know Him, every time I get up here, that's what I want the message, that's what I want people to take from it. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And it's so easy. You don't have to keep rules and laws and regulations and be perfect, and you can lose it, and you have to go back and forth. No. It's so easy. Just accept it. Thank you for being here. I thank everybody for coming out and listening. And I love y'all. Pray for Patty and Leo as they come back later in the week. And Judy, would you close us out in prayer, please?